given in the local church. And we started off last week. So this is like the second week in this teaching. Second week out of about 8 to 9 weeks willingly that we might close this topic. Hallelujah. So we're looking at Matthew 28 from verse 18. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, that's the word power, is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Hallelujah. In Mark 16, from verse 15. Mark 16, from verse 15. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them, and confirming the words with signs following. Amen. In Luke 24, Luke 24, from verses 44. It says, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened ye their understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures, and thought it, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it be of Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead to tell thee. And that repentance, which is the forgiveness of sins, or repentance and remission of sins, be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high. John chapter number 20, verses 21. John 20:21. He says to them, and he said to them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. And when he hath said it, he breathed on them, and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whosoever sins ye remitted to them, and whosoever sins ye retain, are retained. Hallelujah. Are retained. Glory to God. Amen. So, what we began looking at last week is the fact that we said, when Jesus gave the instruction, a very vital point of that instruction that you must never miss is the fact that in the instruction, he gave a commitment as the soldier. Amen. As the Savior. And we said, in their world, the Savior will be found amongst his people. That is the I am in Matthew and Mark. The Lord will walk it with. I am with you. That is the fact of the soldier. I will say, you find it also in Luke. When Luke said, I send the promise of the Father upon, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem to ye be endued with power from on high. That is a fact of the soldier. A fact of him being with them and in them. How is that a fact? When you use the word endued with power from on high, it implies power from within. Hallelujah. So, it's a fact of I am with you. When he uses the word, the year be endued, promise of the Father upon. Isn't that to take up something that you have already? Hallelujah. Amen. So that means, is a fact of the, that is a fact that he is in them. Hallelujah. Because he is in them, he is with them, he is walking amongst them, they will endure the endued. Do you understand me? To put it on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in John also, John stated that fact. Though not obvious, but you'll find it in John's writing. When it says, whosoever sins here forgive, I forgive. And whosoever you ever sins, I will say. And we said, it's God that forgives sins. Hallelujah. It's God that forgives sins. God alone does. So if it is God alone that forgives sins,
That means when he says, whosoever sins here forgive, it means they are going to act in the stead of God. That's what it means. They're going to take up, they're going to act in God's stead. Or you put, God will be walking through them. You see that? God will be walking through them. That is the fact of the soul that being with them. Because God is carrying out his destiny through his men. And he will be found with and in them. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So that will be a fact of the Psalter. And the Psalter will be found amongst his people. The fact that the Savior, that was Psalter, in soteria, in salvation, he will be found amongst the people. Glory to God. That said, we said something else you must see in the instruction will be the fact that Jesus, when he tells them, teaching them, make disciples, will, and then remission of sins be preached, he's giving them an assignment to raise men, and he said it will be done via teaching. Now when you use the word teaching there, teaching them is the word didasco. Didasco. When you have the word didache, when you have the word didache, didaskalia, when you use the word didache, it tells you that the pattern is going to be like that of Jesus. When you use the word didasco, we are saying, remember, when you use the word didasco, that means it's going to follow a particular pattern like that of Jesus. Hallelujah. So how did Jesus read Bible? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. That would be part of Jesus' didache. Jesus' mode of interpretation. Okay, follow it. It will be part of Jesus' mode of interpretation. From the Genesis. Amen. So that means what you find in their teaching will be Jesus' pattern of teaching. In Acts 4, when they heard them teach, they said they took note that these ones are not learned, but they've been with Jesus. Amen. Because they would find Jesus' mode of teaching in their teaching. Come and follow me. Jesus' didache will be found in their mode of teaching. Very vital. Hallelujah. So that means what Jesus was doing in Luke, listen, is what, or what Jesus was doing, that Luke recorded for Torah, that he did so them within the 40 days, and he did while he was still with them in Luke 24, 44, will be what the disciples will be doing. So what was Jesus doing? He was interpreting scriptures. So that means, when he tells his disciples teaching them, he means that they will be interpreters. Or put, the local church will be where scriptures will be properly interpreted. Amen. That means part of the duty of the local church is to train interpreters of scriptures, meant to properly interpret scriptures. What are you following me? Interpret scriptures. Very vital to interpret scriptures. To interpret scriptures. You will go. To interpret scriptures. So I recall last week, hallelujah, we said something. We said something very vital, and then I'll add something to that too. Amen. Amen. So we said the disciples will teach the same way, right? Which is what we saw. Something else that we said is that when it comes to Bible interpretation, some things will stand out. But that was said, we said some things will stand out vital. And what are those things that will stand out? Sorry. Oh, I took this off here. Okay. We said some things will stand out. And we said what will stand out will be the text. The text will stand out because the goal of Bible interpretation is to find out what was in the mind of the writer when he wrote. And since the writer is not in the thing, the text will be very vital. So the text will carry both the writer's intention and the construction, its grammatical construction. So we can rely on the text to find out what was in the mind of the writer. So the text becomes vital. I would say the golden rule for Bible interpretation is that a text cannot mean today what it never meant when the writer wrote. If a text means today what it never meant when the writer wrote, then that means there's a problem. That's a problem on its own. Because with the goal of interpretation anywhere is to find out what was the right translation.
Hallelujah. Right?
So, in finding out the interpreter's intention, I have to pay attention to his text. Right?
Hallelujah.
But before that, I showed up Exodus 3:12 last week, and I said there is a reason behind the reason why the writer wrote. And the reason for the major reason why the writers wrote will be theology. Right? Did you say that? Theology. The study of God that will lead to worship. That will be the reason behind the reason why they wrote.
Hallelujah.
They will then find out why did they really write. You see, the text, we have to pay attention to the text. And we must allow the text to interpret itself. So in allowing the text to interpret itself, remember what we used to say, you have to sit in the seat of the first audience. Very vital. You have to sit in their feet.
Hallelujah.
So we said, a very vital mistake people make today is to try and interpret text in their world today first. You don't interpret text or scripture that were written thousands of years ago in my language today. So I have to go back to their world. Right? Go back to their world. And reread it again. Reread it again. I mustn't read it in my world. I'm not looking at the word blessed on Sunday. Well, we wanted up that teaching on blessed. I would expect that you lay your hands on it. But I'm going to say a few things on that when it comes to blessed. Now, we say, well, we'll come to bless in our world today. I would say, God bless you to someone. God will bless you. And what comes to people's mind first, blessed means money. No!
Hallelujah!
Who said no? Because when the word blessed is used in scripture, is the word in the Greek, barak. Barak. B-A-R-A-K. Barak. We have another word, blessing. Baraka. Barak. Or beraka, rather. Beraka. Why blessed is barak? Now, the word blessed is used 12 times in Genesis and Deuteronomy. The word baraka, rather, is used 12 times in Genesis and Deuteronomy. The word baraka, which is blessed, it means to speak well of. I'll just run through it. Then you can get the teaching we're having on Sunday for that.
Hallelujah.
We did an extensive study on that. Hallelujah. It means to speak well of, to salute, to hallow. Used for God, to hallow.
Hallelujah.
To hallow. Remember, I told us last week Thursday, I said, the minister once said, every major truth will have its origin in Genesis. Another minister that I respect very well will say, will have it in its seed form in Genesis, type and shadows in Moses and the prophet, and then we'll find it as, I don't want to use it like that because that would be a bit careless to say, find it as the word became flesh. But you'll find it in the application of Jesus being flesh, God became flesh, and then we'll find it as instruction in the epistles. Something around that.
Hallelujah.
But remember I said, we're going to deal with that. Sometimes debunk it, sometimes just accept it. We'll just look at that all together.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when you get to Genesis, the first time we find the word blessed in Genesis will be Genesis 1:22. And it was talking about the creation. God's creation. He said it was good. In Genesis 1:28, it speaks of his man, and God blessed man. Let's make man in our image. After the cattle of the head, and there was a creeping thing that creeped upon the surface of the earth.
In verse 27, it then said, God bless man.
Are you following me?
Amen.
He said, God bless man. God bless them. And said, so the word blessed there is Bekorah. It's the word Barak. Barak. God bless man. So, when you use the word blessed, it has nothing to do with money. But it has to do with his plan in all the earth. Did you see that? God bless man. So, God's blessing, the word bless or blessing is used. The word bless or blessing is used in relation. It's used in relation to God taxing all the earth.
Okay, you hear me? It's used in relation to God taxing all the earth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sorry, let me put this up. So that word is used in relation to God's tax, you know, the God's tax in all the earth.
Hallelujah.
So the first time we find the word Jesus is used in relation to God's tax in all the earth. It's used in relation to God speaking well of what he has done.
Do you see that? Barak.
He wasn't used for money. When he used for cattle.
Hallelujah. In Genesis 2:3, it says, God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it and sanctified it. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So he says he blessed the seventh day. He didn't put money there. He spoke well of the seventh day.
Did you see that? That is, how did he speak well? By hallowing it. How are you following me? By hallowing it.
Very vital, you need to see that. So it's got nothing to do with money. So I shouldn't read that money in my world. In Genesis 5, 1 and 2 to you read it. Genesis 9, it says God blessed Noah. Genesis 9 verse 1, God blessed Noah. Blessed Noah, there were men to speak well of Noah. Not about money now. Hallelujah. Genesis 9, 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful. Does it have to do with Genesis 1:28? Emphatically, yes. He's taxing all the earth. Hallelujah. He's taxing all the earth. Something you have got to see very well. In verses 26, 9:26 is used for hallowing God. Genesis 9:26. He said, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. And do you see that? And Canaan shall be his Sabbath. Do you see that? Hallelujah. It's used for hallowing God. In Genesis 12, some people are going to see Genesis 12 too. It says, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Everybody think, yeah. Abraham had money, God blessed him, but no. Look at verses 5. And Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother, and all their substance that they've gathered, and the soul they had gotten in Haran. When you use the word soul there, it's used for men in their world. A rich man is known by the amount of men he has, the amount of souls he has. So that means, Abraham was a rich guy before God called him. Amen. Abraham, God called Abraham when Abraham was rich. Abraham was already wealthy. So the blessing was in material. The blessing is in relation to his taxing all the earth. Hope you're following me. God's taxing all the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. Hope you're following me. So God's speaking well of you in what? He's causing all the earth. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you go ahead again. Look at the word Beraka. We'll look at its blessing. You'll find that word used in Genesis 12, 2 again. You shall become a blessing. Genesis 27, verse 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before then, we looked at Genesis 25, where he gets to Genesis 27, verse 12. You'll discover something, Genesis 27, 12. Rush down there. Genesis 27, 12. Yeah, sharp, sharp. Let's stop. Amen. This is Jacob and Esau. And Esau is crying. He said, my peradventure, you feel me? I said, Esau. This is Jacob saying, my peradventure, my father will feel me. He's scared. And speaking to the mother. And I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Did you see that? He said, what is my father? Can't you see that I'm trying to improvise my brother? Did you see that wasn't bad? I was blind. But before now, let's see how the whole thing works. Let's see how it works. What was the blessing about? We're going to see that. We saw that on Sunday, last week Sunday. We're going to look at a bit of it today. Hallelujah.
Before now, Abraham is a prophet, right? Genesis 2, he was a prophet. He was a prophet. His father, his grandfather, right? Then Isaac, look at how old this man was. Isaac, remember, Moses writing Genesis was a children of Israel to know the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when I talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he will trace it down to Adam. Hope you're following that. Amen. And writing about Adam, he will now bring Adam as Adam, their ancestor, and bringing Adam as the word archetype in Genesis 1. Hope you have to follow that well. You don't think he's writing science. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So he gets here and he says, you need to see this. So Abraham was a prophet, Isaac a prophet, not Ishmael, not Eliezer. I mean, not, yeah, not Eliezer, not Ishmael. It's Isaac.
What is Isaac that took over from the father?
Now he gets to Esau and Jacob. Now we'll get to Genesis 25 quickly. Genesis 25. You know, some people will tell you, oh, God hated Esau from the womb. Come on, stop saying things like that. God never did. Hallelujah. God never did. In fact, when he gets to Ishmael, even Cain that killed Abel. Referring to Nancy, God caused him not to speak well of, but yet that causes never meant Cain was going to become miserable. Cain became very wealthy. Look at Genesis 4. So to make you know that the blessing of the causes have nothing to do with material wealth. I want to find out what it does, material wealth and Christian faith. Hallelujah. Because we need to balance that in our minds. And the reason why I'm going to be doing this, you see some people who are not born again and they are successful. Why are you offended? Just take advantage of information. And become worthy. Hallelujah. Yeah. God wants you fine. God wants you well. Very good. I tell people, launch out full. Launch out full. Go for the job. Amen. Start the business. Make sure you're successful at it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope you're following me. Don't talk nonsense.
Hallelujah. Look at Esau now.
Okay, before we get to Esau, we also have Ishmael. Ishmael was wealthy. Was wealthy. This is not the same Ishmael that was sent away from Abraham's house. Hope you're following that. Was he wealthy? I think he was wealthy. Abraham was wealthy. Hope you're following that. Now he gets to Cain and Abel. Hallelujah. Who are following me? Cain and Abel. Look at verse 23. And God said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Say, the manner of two people shall be separated in thy bowels. He says, and the one shall be stronger than thee and the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. Did you see that? The elder shall serve the younger.
We're talking about Esau. Right? Esau, chapter. He said, God hated Cain. God hated
Esau. No. Hallelujah. Some people will read in Hebrew. We're going to look at that some other day. Hallelujah. And say, Esau Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Come on. Say, God has predestined them from their womb. No. That is not predestination.
Amen. Remember those of you who were in that class of predestination and
for ordained. I told you something, you must look out for what? Come on, let me see who will remember. You look out for what kind of verb? What kind of verb did I call you? Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So, you must look out for the fact that what God has just done now is he used the word serve. Now that word serve there is the word for a priest. Abba. Serve. So that means God's plan. Listen, God's plan, like I said, you can have an intention for your child to become, that is it, not predestination. You can have an intention for your child to become a lawyer. You take him to law school. But the child ended up becoming a singer. It doesn't mean, is that predestination? No. But I've already set out and mapped out a plan. You see that? But that plan is not, you are not enforced to do it. So God's plan was for Esau to pastor Jacob. That is the first one, right? Some people know you. You see what about there. But you know what? That was a plan. Was God going to compel it? No, God's going to compel it on him. Hope you're following me. But yet, if we get to chapter, that same chapter, 25, verses 31, and Jacob says, send me this day your birthright. Before you think birthright is
necklace. The word birthright is the word Bekorah. Bekora means, is used for the right of the firstborn. You understand?
The right of the firstborn. The firstborn is to take over or to
function in the office of the father. So the father is a prophet, the firstborn is not supposed to carry on. That was the culture of their day. Didn't you see that? That was the culture of their day.
So Moses picked that up. You see that? And Esau said, what have I to do with the birthright? He didn't change any necklace. You see that? In his area, who's going to see? This is not just mouth. That was a rejection of the father's office.
Oh, yeah, we are going to do it. History, just known history. History had it that Esau just came back from the slaughter. He just came back from the history material. Now, at that point, around that period, when Esau came out from the killing of Nimrod, that Esau killed Nimrod. Amen. That's what history had. Hallelujah. So, a lot of scholars now said he was already feeling too big and killed the departed guy. What is the point? Did you see that? So he disdained it. So, writers,
especially the writer of Hebrews, who now said he was profane, a profane person. Now, when you use the word profane, is one who speaks anyhow without regard, without honor.
You see that?
That means Esau was a profane person. He spoke anyhow about God's blessing, about God's taxing of the earth.
Did you see that? Amen?
So, I want you to see the history. So when he now lost it, lost the blessing, you know he was mad. He said, Father, I want to bless me. Maybe at this point he now, I need this blessing because I need to function here.
You know, amen?
But he has lost it with his mouth. Sometimes there are some things people say and they will never achieve in their life. They can never hit it. You know what he said? That doesn't mean you don't criticize. There are some miracles of people can never see because they criticize.
Hallelujah.
You don't criticize spiritual things. Even if
you don't yet understand it, don't criticize it. Don't be stupid. He's not more stupid than that. Okay, he's not stupid than that.
Glory to God. So, when you stand for the blessing, he missed it. Hallelujah. He missed it. And in verses 32 to 34, I mean that's what we just read, in chapter 27 verse 12, let's see that, so 27 verse 12, oh why did I say verse 12, verses 35, sorry, verses 35, I guess I'm skipping a lot of this, okay. Remember, okay, let me get you back to the blessing. Well, guess to go to the blessing. Remember how Isaac blessed Jacob.
He said, the smell of the sun and the smell of the people the Lord has blessed. The Lord comes upon you the dew of heaven and the fatter of the earth. And you are thinking this. So your mother's children will serve thee. Your mother's children will bow to thee. And you are thinking he's going to be so wealthy that Esau was going to bow down for him. No! We're talking about money there. We're talking about the pastoral office. Okay, following you. Amen.
The pastoral office. If I will get to chapter 2, that verse 35, I ask you to read. Eh? I will just run it through for you. Now, Esau, Jacob was coming to meet Esau. And what did Jacob do? Jacob arranged all his children.
Amen. Arranged all his children. And he lined them up. That's his chapter 33, sorry.
But 35 to 37 is when Esau was begging. And the Bible says, Hebrews say he sought it with tears, but he couldn't find it. The blessing was gone. The father knew there's nothing left. Because he knew that was an office, not money. Amen. But not will. Look at chapter 33. Verses 11. Now, Jacob also meets Esau. What did Jacob do? Jacob now arranged all his children.
Arranged his children according to, first of all, the one he lost very well, put him last. Put that one last. Now put the house lead in front and their children. Now put Lee that he suffered for no result. For now put the wife in law at the back.
Everybody bow down. My elder brother is coming. I thought in that blessing of the father, your father's children, your mother's children will bow to you, right? But Jacob bowed. I now wanted to present a gift to his elder brother. What did the elder brother say to him?
Look at chapter 13.
Chapter 33, verse 13. Amen. No, verses 9. Look at what it says. It says, and Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto yourself. He says, and be. That's what he said. Amen. He said, I have enough. Amen. Amen. I said, and be. Verses 3. Jacob bowed himself to the ground 7 times to his brother. He bowed. The man that has blessings, he bowed to his brother. So the blessing was not material. Amen. Nobody follows you. Hallelujah. Look at verses 1. Esau came with how many men? 400 men.
So men Esau was with. How many men does that Isaac have? They have children, 12, 4 wives.
2 wives, 2 concubines, or 2 maids with children for him. Hallelujah. And you know what? He bowed. He had the blessing. And he bowed. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. So the blessing is not about money. The blessing is concerning God's tax in all the earth.
In all the earth. So we get to the New Testament section of the Bible.
Which I say is really not the New Testament section, it's just the same scripture. But we'll get to the New Testament section of the Bible. You find out that word blessing is or bekora. What are you calling it? The word barak or baraka, not bekora. Baraka is now translated eulogio or eulogia. Elogia. Anyone? Elogio, elogia, elogisto. So they are used for the same thing, to speak well of. To speak well. Has nothing to do with material wealth. Material wealth, nothing.
Nothing. So get that message, you have it all there. And what you saw that in Acts 3:26, it's used for the new birth.
Acts 3:26, let me just show you that. It's for the new birth. Amen. Acts 3:26 quickly. Are you there? He says here, unto you, God first, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. Did you see that? He sent him to bless you. So that blessing is in Christ.
God has spoken well of us. Now, amen. So in the new birth, we have God speaking well of us in the new birth. So the Holy Ghost in the believer is God speaking well of the believer. The Holy Ghost in the believer is God speaking well of the believer.
The Spirit of God is God speaking well of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me now. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. So God speaks well of us in Christ. That's what it means. The word blessed in Romans 12:14 and 1 Corinthians 4. And 1 Corinthians 4 verse 12 is used for those believers who walk in the Spirit.
It's used for those believers who walk in the Spirit. What are you following that? These are believers who walk in the Spirit. Walking in love.
Very vital. So we can say from Galatians 3:9, God has spoken well of us in Christ. Galatians 3:9. Galatians 3:9. He says, so then, they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. They which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So it's very vital.
You don't interpret word in your world today.
You make sure you don't do that. Hope you're following me. You make sure you don't interpret the word in your word today. You have to go back to their word and see how is this word used.
Sometimes, God is going to borrow their...
Listen, God is going to borrow their culture. We're not taking this route on Sunday, but I'm taking this route here. Sometimes God is going to borrow their culture. And in borrowing their culture, he will use it to pass across his message. Many a times,
we miss out the message. Listen, we miss out the reason why God borrowed their culture and what God was trying to correct, and we stay with the culture to today. Are you following me? Amen. We miss it out. For example, we're going to look at tithing. Amen. Tithing is a culture. But before we get to tithing, look at the word Sabbath. 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 Now, Sabbath was not a... God had to borrow that. Sabbath worship wasn't a Jewish celebration. Okay, let me. Sabbath wasn't Jewish. The children of Israel were not the originator of Sabbath. In fact, I told someone some days back, I told the person, do you know that Sabbath is not... No, that was this morning, sorry. I was discussing with someone. I said, do you know that Sabbath is not an Israeli's worship? It was a borrowed culture. The person was like, are you sure? I said, yes. In fact, it was Sabbath worship. Sabbath, not even Sabbath. If you say Sabbath worship, you are even wrong. It's Sabbath. Sabbath is a worship day. Hope you're following me. Amen. It was a culture in Egypt. It was a culture in the Near Eastern culture. Hope you're following me. So, what did they do? It was a day set aside to worship their deity. It's usually on the last day. Amen. You just set a day aside when they all go to worship deities. You worship different kind of deities. Now, what did Moses do? You know, Moses gives them Sabbath day in Exodus, but yet we didn't find any of the patriarchs before Moses celebrating Sabbath. We didn't find it in Abraham. Did you find it in Abraham? Emphatically, no. Did you find it in Jacob? Did you say Jacob went to worship God on Sabbath? No! Did you find it in Isaac? No! Did you find it in Joseph? No! Okay, follow it. Amen? For yet, Moses would give it to them because they borrowed it from Egypt. Moses is giving it to teach concerning the oracles of God. Okay, following that. I want you to understand Sabbath like this. So Moses was using to teach because I the oracles of God. So that means if I used to teach the oracles of God, I should find out how did Moses use something similar in Genesis, right? You didn't find it in Genesis. But yet, he said in Genesis chapter 2, the last day the Lord rested on the last day. Did you see that Genesis 2? Go quickly. Oh, that means we could trace it to them, to we could trace Sabbath day worship or Sabbath day to the last day, right? But yes, it's the and the Lord hallowed it. Before you start thinking it's a particular day, Monday to Friday, we didn't find it in any of the patriarchs. Okay, good lady. Have you found it in the patriarchs? We say, oh, it was a particular day. No, it wasn't. So that means the seventh day wasn't a particular day. Okay, good lady. Rather, we found out that the patriarch worshipped God all through. In fact, the first time we saw sacrifice wasn't used for anything other than worship. In fact, the use of sacrifice was in their culture. God never told anybody to offer sacrifices. That was why the prophet would say, sacrifices that he desired. I didn't ask you for sacrifices. Listen. But it was in their world. They have to borrow it. So we're going to look at sacrifice in next week. Hallelujah. God gets the money. They have to borrow it. Sabbath was also borrowed. But Moses is going to write this seventh day. Yet, none of the patriarchs had a particular day called seventh day where they worship. Rather, they worship all the time. But Moses is writing seventh day to the children of Israel. For they to see the Sabbath, the seventh day, God rested. Did you see that? God rested. That is, God carried out his task in all the earth. So, for them to know that there is the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day is not a particular day, but the Lord's Day is when the heaven and the earth is complete. How are you following that? The new birth. How are you following that? Look at it, Genesis 2, verse 1. Very vital now. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them.
And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made.
And he rested on the seventh day. And he hallowed it. You see that? So he becomes a fighter now. So that means we have a trait, which is going to be the last day. So when I get back to Exodus, and I see how Moses' man admonished them.
Exodus 20 now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope you're following me. Verse 11, it says, in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Did you see that? He traced them back to Genesis 2. I've written Genesis 2 for you. But yet you didn't find it like that in the Patriarchs.
Hope you're following me. So that means I must be wise to know what this Moses is talking about. I shouldn't now pick the Sabbath and leave what it is for. It is like you are throwing away the baby and the bathwater. And the same way too today,
the same way too today, I shouldn't say the Sabbath, there's no Sabbath, there is no, you are careless. There is no Sabbath, there's nothing like that, no, you are careless. They might say you don't solve an extreme issue with an extreme. Right? So therefore I have to look at it again. Glory to God. The Sabbath day is the seventh day. It says, cease not into your work. The seventh day, the Lord rested. Go back to Genesis 2. That is the Sabbath. But yet we didn't find any of the patriarch. Well, why did Moses bring about the seventh day? It is the Lord's day. He's trying to make you see. It's the Lord's day. Say, you hallow. So you must see the heavens and the earth complete. Listen, is that the temple? Is that the temple? Heaven and earth complete. Right? So he's telling you God's temple is for worship. So the Sabbath day is service. The Sabbath day is worship. Okay, following you. And that will happen on the Lord's day. When the heavens and the earth are together. When the heavens and the earth come together. That is the new birth. So he's saying, the Lord's day, what will you find in God's Sabbath? What will you find in the heavens and the earth? Service, right? We saw that when believers conversion. Service, right? Worship, right? Hallelujah! Very vital. You find service. Amen. That is work. That is God carrying out his task through his children. That is Matthew 28, 18 to 20. That is Mark 16, 15 to 20. That is Luke 24, verse 47. God starts in all the earth. That is the Lord's Sabbath. We are in God's Sabbath. Hallelujah. So the Sabbath is not a Saturday, Sunday, or a Monday. The Sabbath is a believer's life. Okay, believe you. God has found his rest. And God is resting throughout the whole earth. Oh, we are following me. So the moment I say, oh, it's a particular day, I'm missing it. Okay, believe me. I'm missing it. I must see the Sabbath as God's day. So why is Moses writing Sabbath for them? To see, and what were they supposed to do? We're going to do no work. That means in the Lord's Sabbath, I'm not doing any work. Amen. The Sabbath, God's Sabbath, I'm not doing any work. That is to say, to get into God's Sabbath, I'm not going to do any work. It's not going to be my performance. It's God's performance. Hallelujah. The work, the task I'm going to do is not going to be my task. It's going to be God's task. Amen. Amen. So where you now find, look at Jesus. Let's get to the focus this now. So what is that types and shadows in Moses? These types and shadows in Moses is types and shadows. Moses will give them as a shadow. On the Sabbath day you do no work, you do nothing, just sit in your house and thank God. This is that. Then we find it in Jesus. What did Jesus do? All the while Jesus used the word Sabbath, he used it to correct the Pharisees. Did you see that? He's healing on the Sabbath. He corrected and he healed. That means in God's Sabbath you'll find healing. Hallelujah. Men will be restored in the Lord's Sabbath. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. And then your disciples do what is no longer done on the Sabbath. He reminded them, have you not read? The priest who profaned the Sabbath. Or have you not read? When the priest went and Israel was no longer to be eaten on in the temple, he ate the children. What was no longer? So that means he's trying to let them see that they are taking the Sabbath wrongly. Then which of you? Your heart or your heart falls into the ditch on the Sabbath and you save your heart. Is that? You're going to do that, your oxen. You will save it, you save it. So instead of saying, look at what Moses is writing about. It's not a particular day,
A Thessalonian will do no one to see how God did. God's rest. Don't miss that. The Lord rested. The Lord rested. The heavens and the earth were completed. That is the Sabbath day. That is the believer's life.
Hope you're following me. So it's not my performance, it's God's tax in all the earth. So that's why Paul will now say,
the last one I did, I didn't talk to myself, but to he who died for me. Isn't that? It's not my performance.
No,
it's not my performance.
Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Very vital. Never lose sight on that. Then we get down to sacrifice. Oh, like I said, we're not going to look at sacrifice today. And then to tithe. Something I'm going to let you see. There have been several extremes. There have been several people fighting, several people here and there on tithing.
And the question is, come on.
People are going to one extreme. Because of tithing, some people are no longer giving in their churches anymore. They say, we don't pay tithe anymore. Interesting. We don't do this anymore. Interesting. And we say, no, tithing is the Old Testament. Interesting too.
What is the Old Testament? Tithing is God. Oh, we're throwing away the baby and the bathwater. And even throwing away the sponge too.
Have you cloned
everything? No, don't do that.
Hallelujah. Old Testament. Clap for yourself. Moses is gone. Tithe is gone. No. But tithing, people didn't understand, is that tithing preceded Moses. When you tell, when you now tell people, like someone was arguing with me years back, tithing is this. I now say, see, tithing came before the law. So let everything that came with the law went. Tithing didn't go. Sabbath day didn't go. It isn't that you find it in Genesis.
That means it's something will happen between us. Amen? Amen? Well, I've got to look at it again. So what I'm going to leave you with as we close tonight
is the fact that tithe was a culture in their world. Was a culture in their world. The culture in their Eastern tradition was a culture in their world. Very well. In fact, in their world, the kings, not Israel, in their world, the kings do not. But everybody will have to bring a tithe of their proceeds to the king. That is called tithe. It was in their world. So it wasn't, it shouldn't be far from your head. When Abraham saw Melchizedek, listen, Melchizedek, he said, King of Salem. He was a king.
And he was just coming from the spoils of war. He carried 1/10 of all he has gotten from war. From the child of the slaughter at the Chaldeans. He carried 1/10 and gave to the king. It was a culture of war.
Somebody now said to me, but Melchizedek is Jesus that time. I said, thank you. Melchizedek was a king.
Was a king.
So he carried 1/10 and gave to Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Because it was a culture. Hallelujah. So Moses will not use that culture. Listen, to now give them laws, right, as types and shadows. But take note, something you must never forget. How does Moses now do it? What is the significance of it? Why does God have to employ that culture? Because before you hear that pastor is about to teach us tithing, come on, you've got to be low where the apostles are low where Jesus was. Just talk about tithing this one. That means the same way he even talk about Sabbath anymore that he used it to be with them. The same way he did it for tithing. You title nothing. Then you give titles this and titles that. Yeah, I mean, you give titles this and then you forget the weightier matters of the law. You see that? The apostles, that's why they talk about that. In their pieces, I don't think we have tithe in them. Only in Hebrews. Okay, follow you. And Hebrews, right now, Hebrews was writing to a Jewish people. Moses wouldn't have, I mean, Paul wouldn't have written to talk about tithe to Gentiles, because they didn't even know what it had. Because they didn't even have it. They have the law. So the writer of Hebrews will write it to an Hebrew audience who they understood. And when they were claiming, we're going to get tithes. We are they said no. Even the Levites paid tithes in Abraham.
Amen. That means it's something to have to look at again.
Well, sir, what about when you tithe? Is it not going to be, if you don't tithe, you're going to be tithe, or you're going to look at all that? Hallelujah. And then see the importance of giving in the local church. We'll go through it from next week. Hallelujah. Remember, the teaching is not about fighting. We're going to deal with tithing and deal with other things. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not teaching you to go and start arguing outside. No. I'm teaching you for you to know that you're able to teach on that. Hallelujah. Learn something? Just thank the Lord.